Can't get enough ghostly talk? To go to addunderground.com and click on Slack and Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time to check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
From the Rhine Research Center, and our website is www.rhine.org. And I hope that I'll hear from some of the listeners with some stories, and you are now listening to Ghostly Talk.
Things happen here.
Yes, I do know.
Because sometimes people just appear.
Sometimes people just like call up on the phone and they're like, "Hey, what's up?"
Well, they just appear. They just
show up.
Yeah, they just materialize.
And that's what happens for the when you're in the Haunted Warren Winery. This is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
And it's one of the positive things of live radio. There's
yes.
A lot of negatives.
There are some negatives.
But there's a lot of positives, too, and I think one of the positives is sitting on the phone right now as we speak.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have the distinct pleasure of having Homie 3. He hosted a ghostly talk with just a little. What was it? Last week.
Last week.
It was last week.
Well, he's been the man. He's been the engine behind Prophecy Night here.
He has. He has been the organizer. He gets all the guests together and then he pretty much drove the show. I mean, I know I took over. I sort of stole a half hour.
and I ganked a half an hour.
I want to know what you think about this. But the show, I think, went smoothly and without a hitch. There was the echo. There was a few things, you know, but that's live radio. What happens is the idea, the kernel, what grows into a Prophecy Night show is all provided by Homie 3.
Yeah.
So we have to say thanks for coming back this week, and let's talk about Prophecy Night, the fallout.
Well, yeah, we wanted to kind of... Earlier this week, myself and Homie were talking about, you know, we were just discussing, you know, how the show went, and we were really happy how everything went and stuff like that. And, you know, they kind of came up like, maybe we should do like a little recap thing, maybe. I'm like, well, you know... Yeah. The schedule lightens up somewhere, we could maybe work on that or something like that. Well
guess what happened?
Guess what happened this week?
The schedule lightened up. Because we heard our guests from last hour had some whole issues at home.
He had some issues, and we're going to work that out with William.
And so we will reschedule William Constantine.
Yes, definitely.
But for discussions about the afterlife. But for we are absolutely thrilled to bring onto the show Homie 3, who put together Prophecy Nights Part 1 and 2. Homie, what's the fallout? How's it been going? And welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. We appreciate you having the show.
Well, thanks, man.
Prophecy Night. It's very informative. But fallout from, of course, from last show, I know we, as Scott had said, we were on the show. We had talked a couple of days later. And look, I got the feeling, hey, stay at home and you got to listen tonight. Because I don't always listen to your show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is 4th of July weekend. I should get out. Okay.
Exactly.
So here I am.
So should we.
Let's talk about certain other things. When we were on the show last week, and Jill Dane had a problem with her phone. And
that was
we were hearing it for about a good hour of her beeping.
Do you know what, homie? That's been talked about in the email, right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing to me. I can't even imagine why this happened. Go ahead and describe it, but I just wanted
we during the break time, she had even stated to us that, you know, her phone is going to die. That's where the beeping was coming from. And she would change the phone soon as it would die.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, you know, getting a beep off the phone telling you your battery's going dead on the phone, how long does that last? 5-10 minutes?
I had a phone that it was a 3-minute warning, and I had another phone that it was like a 5-minute warning, but it's never a 60-minute warning.
I'm sorry. unless you're Scott L., your phone will die.
The show was over, her phone died. Now, during the show, even Derek White Sky Cloud had mentioned to her, hey, it's meant for you to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was some reason, there was something that was making that phone stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we feel.
Something, because it should not have lasted as long as it did, not beeping like that. Because when I start hearing beeps on my phone, it's minutes.
I have never heard a beep on my phone, ever.
Well, you keep yours plugged in.
You always charge it up before it needs charging up.
I come from the old school where, like, you remember those things, those landlines, but they were, like, cordless, too? Remember the cordless phone?
Oh, those were hideous.
Well, in my house, if I didn't, like, put the phone on the charger when I was done using it, I got beaten with it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of
made sure it's always charged.
Well, yeah, if you've seen Fred Flintstone, my father, you know, you don't want to get beat over the head with a cordless phone by this man. So I guess it kind of followed in my adult years into this whole digital realm where we have these. So every night I come home and I just go and plug it in and go to bed. I don't know what the hell that means. I don't know what has to do with this thing, but let's just keep going.
Yeah, but I use my phone. I guess I must use it a lot. Well, and
you do.
Bonnie and I have had some marathon conversations.
Oh, God, yes.
And that's where the battery life does rear its ugly head, but only minutes.
And he gets one beep and says, okay, if I hang up on you, it's not really me hanging up. And then 2 minutes later, he's gone.
Right.
So with all this proof, we know that phone should have died a couple of minutes after she told us.
It should have. And instead it lasted for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
An hour.
That's unusual.
Now, you know, one thing we did talk about on the show, you know, Jill, I mentioned how prophet, you know, when she gives predictions, or some of us give predictions of sometimes it's disaster and sometimes it's good news for some people and sometimes it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll, you know, like you say, like she says, Hillary Clinton is going to become the next president. Now, Is that good news for everybody? No, it's good news for the Democrats and bad news for the Republicans, right?
So
it all depends upon how you look at things, all right? What you're giving out in information. Because the other day I had a unique instance in town here where I live. And a certain yogurt shop, they know me well, they know about the book, and they know the ability that I have. So I go into this, it was the day Brazil had just won, and we've got a lot of Brazilian people around here, and they're honking their horns, they're waving the flags. So I think, oh, it's soccer, it's like Brazilian won. I knew about the World Cup, but I don't know much about soccer anyway. So I run into the store, I go get a yogurt, and one of the girls in there is Brazilian. And I just turned to her and I said, Brazil is going to lose.
I'm sure she loved that.
Okay. Now, of course, you know, she looked at me and she said, "Well, you know that you know, well, that's not a nice thing to say."
We're all very happy about Brazil at the moment.
So now it had rained and I was there for an hour and a half. I was stuck there because I was riding my bike, and we had a lot of talk then. But the next day I went back again because I confirmed that Brazil was going to lose with the spirit above that I talked to, because it was like spontaneous when I said it. And I went back the next day and I said it again to her, and I said, I found out Brazil is going to lose, guaranteed. And she said, you're going to leave before it starts raining, aren't you?
Like, don't hang around me.
So it was very upsetting for her to tell us something. And yes, it did happen, okay? But the thing is, for her it was bad news. But if I had told a French person or a person from France, they would have been very happy.
Yeah, it would have been the opposite reaction.
Yeah.
But, well, so was that, here's my question, was that preordained? Or was it, like, was there anything that Brazil could have done to change that outcome?
I don't think so.
At that time, it was.
If some psychics out there, or even I, would have contacted Brazil to say, you're going to lose, the cards say you're going to lose. Now, there's certain things you could do to try to change it. You know, there's certain things like, even Derek White's Sky Cloud had talked about giving information to a person not to go to work on 9/11. And it turned out that person didn't go to work, and he worked at Wall Street. He didn't know the fellow worked at Wall Street. The thing is, that's information given. Now, is it possible to change it? Now, yeah, proved. The guy stayed home. A lot of people got information that days ahead of time to stay home, not to go to work, in some strange ways. So there's certain things that are not changed. It's just stuff given. You have to give information, like Derek had to give information to that person. Is it possible? There's things of the future that, yeah, we could probably change it if we had the ability and understanding of certain prophecies. It's the same thing with giving psychic readings to people. You have your opportunity. You have your chance to change something. All right. But, of course, the way it is right now, I don't think Brazil would have ever won, because no psychic told them that.
Right.
All right. I mean, I talked to Derek and Patel a couple of times off the air, at different times about certain things. And one of the things was, if you have a certain person who talks to a certain high spirit and gets information and gives it out. Now, there's other psychics out there, they have spirits that they contact and they get information from and certain areas from above. Now, is it possible that if this person has information and he's the highest person on this earth and he gives out information that nobody has already, and let's say he gives a change of what he's been told and gives, and everybody and certain other spirits hear that and they give the information to their, to like Derek or Cattell or certain other psychics. Is that possible? And we have a conversation about that, and we feel it could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it all depends, but that's how some psychics you get erroneous information from time to time.
It sounds like there could be a psychic water cooler kind of thing.
Yes.
Where, you know, they're all hanging, or not the psychics, but the spirits on the other side are hanging around. They hear maybe rumors, but they're not directly responsible for the information.
That's right.
But they're passing along what they've heard, a lot like we do around the water cooler. Well, they call it water cooler talk, but it could be anything, you know.
True.
So you know, because, you know, I heard so-and-so's pregnant, and then, ooh, scandal, or not, it depends, you know. But you know, you hear these things, and then you pass them along, you know, sometimes innocently, and sometimes, you know, with an evil smirk on your face. But, you know, sometimes you pass these things along, and maybe a similar thing happens, and maybe the information then is a little, like, it's secondhand at that point, unfortunately.
That's right.
Hmm.
So it's certain things that are some intellectual minds of psychics that we talk about out other than being on air. So those are things that, you know, even I question of life. How is that possible? You know. Now I never discuss certain other books out there. You know, about Nostradamus. And there's something that some people should pick up on, and that's a book called Conversations with Nostradamus by Dolores Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting book.
Interesting.
There's some interesting revelations, or I should say, explanations to some of the prophecies that we're dealing with right now. That could be nice.
What are we going to? What does she say? He says is imminent right now in our time frame. Do you know?
Well, you know, I don't want to touch on it too much.
Right.
there's reasons why. Because it pertains to some things that is happening right now in our lives. But they do talk about information that's given on certain prophecies does talk about a change of the way the people around the world will think of spirituality as a whole.
Good.
Like the age of Aquarius.
Mm. Okay.
That, so to speak, at a certain point. It does talk about the revealing of many truths or understanding of prophecies that have never been told before. Okay. It talks about how all these years, you taught how this is the way it's got to be. This is their thinking. That's their, you know, their mind of teaching. This is the way you have to follow. But because of all the things that are happening now with the expanse of the internet, the television, we're getting so much information. Everybody's receiving a lot of information about prophecies and our future. And now is the time where we're learning, hey, these people have been teaching us stuff and they've been hiding a lot of stuff from us. You know, Nostradamus. I mean, you know, let me ask you something. I see on your webpage one time, on the homepage, that something about Ben Affleck listens to your
You know what? You know what that is, homie? Somebody sent me that link and said, this is pretty funny. You might want to check this out, right?
Okay. I sent it to you. I found
it
originally, yeah.
And I looked at this thing and cracked up because it had nothing really to do with the entity known as this paranormal talk show called Ghostly Talk. It was just something that Ben Affleck was working on, and the title of it was like Ben Affleck does some ghostly talk. And if you typed in like a Google search with ghostly talk, you'd come up with this article. So
yes.
We thought that was pretty hysterical. And it, yeah.
We thought it was hilarious. I don't know if he actually listens to our show, Ghostly Talk, or not.
Well, if he does, he did now, probably. So.
But, yeah.
I wonder who's really listening because, you see, let's put it this way. I told Victor Bain something about I catch Kelly and Regis once in a while in the morning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't catch them right from the get-go. It's always when I get up, if I turn it on, if it's on, I'll watch. And I'm working at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They've had certain things on, and I can tell you this. They've had the copy of the book I've authored since 2003. Mm-hmm. I sent it to them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Reason why, there's a long story.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell you, Tuesday morning, I just happened to turn on the show about 9:38 or something,
mm-hmm.
and I was surprised. I was like, you know, not surprised, but the next guest was Johnny Damon from the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
He comes on and they're having some chat. And what was so funny was that all of a sudden something comes out of Regis's mouth about the game for the day, or about maybe whether they're going to win or something, and all of a sudden Johnny Damon says, "Well, not if you're Nostradamus or someone else." Okay. And they were like, "Yeah, right." And then they went to a commercial break.
Well, you know, you mentioned this thing, homie. You know, you never know where your people are listening at. There's an example of that. I heard this a couple times from somebody's cousin's brother, sister, or whatever, said this to me, and said, "Hey, I was watching some late night TV show."
This is my niece.
This was your niece, Bobby. Okay.
Bonnie's niece.
I was listening to some late night TV. Watching some late night TV show, and you know, whatever they did this, they probably sold a blender or something, because it's late night TV. It's always an infomercial stuff.
No, this wasn't an infomercial.
It was an actual talk
show. Was it maybe
show,
like Jimmy Kimmel show or something?
It was the same format. It was a talk show format with a host behind a desk and the guests in the chairs.
Okay.
It was a talk show format like that. But it wasn't a recognized one as far as
nationally
we remember.
I had no idea who the guy was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess somebody, your niece said, Bonnie, that, well, you tell it. You know what's going on. I don't
know.
Yeah, Bonnie, tell it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell it.
All right.
They were just sitting up late at night, her and her boyfriend, watching, flipping through the channels. You know how you do when you're 18 and you can't go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they came upon some talk show. I don't know what they were talking about. Stop.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, she doesn't remember the exact phrasing, but they said something about ghostly talk. The only way she knew for sure that it was the guys I talked to, they showed your logo.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of the window decals
sitting
in my living room.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only way she knew it was you that they were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they
showed our little ghost guy logo?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Was that in the credits or something?
I don't know.
It was during this talk.
This was in the middle of the night. They were talking to someone that was talking about your show.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, whoever it was, thank you. We appreciate it. But no, I was just saying that, homie. You never know who's listening to you out there. And if somebody hadn't have just seen that by some chance, you know, Bonnie's niece saw that, we would have never known that. You know, so
that's why, you know what, when I first came on your show, and I was like, well, I wonder who's, you know, when I actually did my first internet radio show, I was like saying, who's really out there listening to this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I mentioned something. Are they, you know, who's really listening to us? I mean, and I mentioned something about the shuttle at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had stated, well, Don, you know, if they, you know, they could have sent up another shuttle to bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Look what they're doing. They're already preparing. They're preparing the Atlantis as a backup just in case something does go wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's just
were they listening to us? You know, it's not just my own idea. There's plenty of people out there that would say that said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they are listening, you know. Maybe, you know, is our government listening to your radio show? We don't know.
Oh, I'm pretty convinced.
I'm very convinced. Well, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, a lot of the larger shows, homie,
mm-hmm.
And this is just speculation on my part, but these people I'm sure they have people scouting about all over the place trying to find out what's the new thing, what's with it, what's this, what's that. You know, and one of the obvious places to go is to go to the grassroots shows like ours. Let's just say it for what it is, the grassroots shows like ours, where we're in the thick of it like every single day, you know, talking with people like yourself, you know, working on things with this experiment we call Ghostly Talk. Just basically in there networking around and doing our own field work too. So, you know, it seems like what other place would you go to really get a real perspective on that and then turn it into your own thing? That's what seems
well,
to happen.
That's true.
That's what
that's
seems
true.
To happen, right?
So. But at the same time, you wouldn't go public with anything, like the backup space shuttle kind of thing, right, homie? You wouldn't
right.
go public with anything unless you wanted it to be out in the public or cosmic
yeah, letting
consciousness.
Them know that what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They want to let you know, hey, we heard you. We're doing this.
Right. And I think that you wouldn't say anything about it unless you wanted it out there in the world for
well,
ideas to be generated.
Well, I'll go with something that I did a while back on June 3rd of 2003. I sent an email out to the president, our president George W. Bush and the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And in this email, it mentions there was our buses, our county buses down here had ads for the strip clubs down here,
mm-hmm.
Where the dances, you know, you go and get friction dances, you know. Trust
me, homie, we're in Detroit, man. We are very familiar.
We know
with
all
that.
About
the
that. Yeah.
The
well, it's all over.
Here.
But anyway, you got these ads on county buses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I sent an email about this and said, now, fellas, you know, now, is this the government promoting promiscuous sex
mm-hmm.
And possibly prostitution? I mean, you know, and I went and said a few other things, but that was part of the email. Now, about 3 weeks later, you know, all these ads, they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm wondering what happened. How did, you know, was it something I said?
Well, I hope so. I hope you actually directly affected the...
Now, you have to have an open view of how mankind lives, and because of certain rules and certain aspects of life, things go on.
Mm.
All right. So, now, they took off those ads off the buses. Now they would appear. Now there would be wooden benches for people to sit on for these buses.
Mm-hmm.
Now eventually, those ads appeared on the benches.
Mm.
Of course, I sent an email back out and I said, "No, you know those ads. They started to appear on the benches."
Mm.
Within 3 months, those benches were gone, and they had new benches installed where they couldn't put ads on.
Interesting.
Well, isn't that just from your perspective, homie,
mm-hmm.
when you saw something like that happen, wasn't it just a bit liberating still at the same time? For example, the reason I'm asking is that there was about a year and a half ago when I was still working midnights, right? I used to go into this little diner to get my Greek salad in the middle of the night. And at this diner, our city council here, where the winery's at in this city,
right.
This is where they met, right? This is after their meeting, they go here and eat.
Oh, okay.
And hang out, right? I knew because there was, like, Lexuses and Cadillacs and stuff all in the parking lot. And
this is the normal late.
Yeah, this is like, this is the greasiest of the greasy spoons I go to. And the thing was, is one of the roads here by the winery at one time, and you know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
This
hideous.
This road was an absolutely horrendous shape. And it was that time that I realized why people bought trucks. I finally figured it out. I'm like, why are people driving these huge trucks around all the time? What do they need them for? They're in the city. But then I got onto this road with my little car, and I'm like, now I know these people have these monster trucks. Well, I just couldn't help myself. This was the city council sitting here, you know, eating their omelets and stuff. And I walked up to them like, hey, how you guys doing? You know, I'm actually a resident of this city. And of course, they're like, yeah. I'm like... You know, I wasn't at the meeting tonight. I'm at work, as you can see. I was just wondering if you guys had any plans to fix this particular road we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, you know, yeah, well, sure, we'll check into that for you. No problem at all. I'm like, well, you know, I'd really appreciate it because you're killing me. You people are killing me. I try to go do our radio show. This was before that. I try to go do our radio show, and I come there and my bottom's killing me. I can't even sit down in the chair. It hurts so bad for being bounced around the road. You guys got to help me out here. And they're like, whatever, fine. Let me finish my omelet so I can go home. Leave me alone. So, okay, fine, whatever. Well, just oddly enough, same scenario as yours, homie. About 2 weeks later, well, and if you live in Michigan, you're very familiar with the orange cone things.
Mm-hmm.
A about 2 weeks later, I look out on the road, and I see orange cones lined up. And I see the tar trucks going to work. And they're repaving the road. And I just kind of stop for a second, and I puff my chest out a little bit.
Is that really all it takes?
And I said, Scott L., public servant at your service. So, I mean, whether or not you had a direct, I mean, in my opinion, whether or not you had a direct, you know, influence on that, homie.
Now, Scott, if I were you,
yeah,
I'd go to one of their meetings real soon and say, hey, thank you, guys.
I should do that. Go, hey, thanks for fixing the road. You guys don't remember me from like a year and a half ago. I was like that freak in the diner with long hair and stuff, and I asked you about the roads. Well, thanks for fixing the road. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, that worked out really well for me.
Yeah, we're very happy. We're very happy here at the winery.
But see, now it's the other way around. I'm the one who travels that road.
Yeah. So now you have to deal with it. But
right. It's
the same situation, though, homie.
I mean, I have a nice ride.
Yeah, but you see, now Doug, he doesn't experience what you experience.
Right.
Well, of course, he always gets the easy route. Yeah. He always gets the easy route. I always have to go through all the hard work.
He gets the easy road.
Yeah, now that he had it fixed for me, it worked out really
well. Well, that's what I did. I mean, I knew Doug was going to have to start making the trip here as opposed to me doing the trip to his house, and I wanted to make sure it was as comfortable as possible for him.
And so he went and talked to the
I pulled a few strings.
Did you get the roads fixed for my...
Don't even get me started in Bonnie's Lair's town. I don't even want to... That place was... I don't even want to get started on that.
Tis break time.
Homie, you want to hang out for another half an hour with us?
Sure, no problem.
All right.
We'll talk about some other stuff about Nostradamus.
Excellent. Then we'll be right back with Homie 3, more about Nostradamus after the break.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Allen.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
Be right back.
Yo.
Ghost Hunting, My Ethereal Anti-Drug.
Oh! across the desert plain. The eagle flies majestic in the sky. The spirit will make you love the red rocks bathed in blood and the land where so many warriors have died.
Mothmanlives.com and co-author of Mothman Facts Behind the Legend, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Sound like a real radio show now.
I caught that cue.
Until you did that.
Yeah, until you did that.
I think we have the record for ruining segues and proper production skills.
Right, right. We're working on it anyway.
But it's because we're professional at that.
It's because we're real, man.
We're really good at it.
Well, yeah.
We're really good at ruining segues and not having production skills.
If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right.
Mm-hmm.
And if even if it's wrong, it's worth doing right, I think so. Whatever, that's fine. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we are chilling with Mr. Homie. You still there, Homie?
Whoa.
It sounds like he's falling down the stairs.
Okay, Homie, when you get up off the ground, just feel free to grab the phone and...
I wanted to grab a cup of coffee. There it goes.
Oh, man, don't do that to me right now. Oh, I'm so jealous of you.
Sorry about that. It's decaf. It doesn't charge me.
Oh, okay. All right. I need some right now, as a matter of fact. We've been
I'd be really talking like a New Yorker really fast, and it probably wouldn't be understood by anybody, okay?
Well, you know, one thing I wanted to say, you know, we did do this show last week. Called Prophecy Night Part 2.
And it's always a learning experience. And I want to thank you again, Homie, for putting that together and wanting us to do it. Because what it does to me is it makes me grow and reach and stretch and learn about this broadcasting thingy that we've, for some reason, been doing for so long. And, it's because we don't have, you know, like... station managers with 15 years of experience and stuff like that, and we don't have anything like that. So what we do is we just figure out how it can be done and go and try and do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes that works very well. Sometimes it's a little bit shaky. And the thing is, though, we've got to do it. We have to do it. And because once we know, then when people email me and say, well, how did you do that? And I can say, oh, well, you just do this, that, and the other thing. And
mm-hmm.
That's how it works. And so we can share the knowledge that we gain. So I'm very glad that you put together those things, because that makes me grow and learn, and I can pass that on to other folks.
Absolutely.
And plus...
But we thank you for allowing it to happen.
Well, plus Prophecy is absolutely fascinating to me anyway. So you can talk about Nostradamus all you want. Works for me.
Now, getting back to something of can we head into Nostradamus?
Sure,
please. That was my segue.
You see, homie, you might as well be a fourth host on this show, homie, because we kill the segues. That's cool. We love it. That's perfect. You're right on track.
I would be like the Billy Preston to the Beatles.
Yeah.
the fifth wheel to Ghostly Talk.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. The king of references. There you go. Right.
May Billy Preston rest in peace.
Absolutely right. God rest his soul. Yeah, Nostradamus.
But anyway, with Nostradamus, there's some things, we talked about the certain prophecies that there was information given out by, Dolores Cannon was like a medium, and she had this book, and in certain sections of it, they talk about what's happening now, okay? It talks about possibly an antidote to the what they call the Antichrist, an antidote, somebody that would probably chill the whole air, make it easy for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it also mentions about how he would use the electronic, maze. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we could talk about is like what we're doing, maybe with the internet.
Well, you mentioned this term, the electronic maze, that tends to bring up a lot of different pictures in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the first one would be the internet, because really, look at the complicated network we work on now, as far as the internet's concerned.
Yeah, it is insanely wild, and yeah, it's called the World Wide Web,
mm-hmm.
but web or maze. What would you think, back then when you looked at this bizarre stuff?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Having certain abilities, even as a young kid in my own mind, I was always waiting for the computer to appear. Even though, and I was not under the understanding that there was already computers being used. But being appearance in our households, and that eventually took place.
Mm.
I write about in the book that I wrote that with a computer that I never really wanted a computer in my house until it was meant to be. If it was meant to be, if somebody would bring me computers, and it's, I had a friend that gave me 3 computers in 1 year.
Oh, God.
Okay. Each one a better unit than the other one. And all of a sudden, it was my time to connect with the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I use computers in the office, but I said, but now it's at home, and somebody brought me the computers.
Yeah, it's like, what more of a sign do you want?
Well, I know a couple people myself to this day, as we're speaking right now, that I work with personally. That, they work on stuff at, at our place of employment, and they do not have a computer at home.
Those people exist?
Well, yeah, I
know a fellow.
Well, there's still a lot of people out there that don't have computers.
Yeah.
That's why people still write books and put books out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a fellow where we work for.
Mm-hmm.
He just left, though, to go out to the West Coast, I believe. But mm-hmm. he had no computers, and he had one TV in his house, and it was in a locked room, and it was only for very special occasions.
Wow. That's like, I thought I was like hardcore, like,
no,
no TV guy. I mean, that's like.
He also did not have a radio in his car. He took out his.
Well, that's just sinful.
That's sinful? He did not have a. He did not
he
want to.
He doesn't want to be bothered with the outside world. He
right.
wants his own life. I don't want to be bothered with what's going on.
And that's how he lives. And there you
now,
go.
Maybe in his own mind, he has an ability himself. That he knows the future. There's a lot of people out there that have these abilities, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when I was growing up, I had this ability. I don't know anybody around me, but, wow, this could be spooky, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking to anybody about this, okay? So here, maybe he doesn't want to be bothered with. Maybe he has the ability and he doesn't want to be bothered with anybody about it. So he shuts himself off from the rest of the world.
I don't blame him.
I don't believe that is a great way to live if you can do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I need
it's a good. I'm just making a
of giving an idea of what that person could be thinking in his life.
Oh yeah,
it could be a lot of other reasons too.
Mm-hmm. There are people out there that like you just said, Doug. There's a lot. I mean, I for a while I was one where I mean I didn't even go near. I mean, even to this day, I really don't. I watch my movies every once in a while. I put a movie in as far as the TV is concerned. But I just can't sit down and watch, like, the news. I can't do it. It drives me insane, man. It kills me. To this day, I've been doing that for a real long time. I mean, and there may be, like you said, homie, there's a lot of ideas that could go into that of why a person lives that way, as far as Doug's friend's concerned.
I know some people, they say, I just don't want to be bothered with the world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know some people that way, you know. I don't watch TV on a regular basis. I catch the news. I'll catch a show once in a while if I turn it on in the morning just as a break. But overall, you know, I've got too much other things to do in life.
Well, that's what I say, too. There's so much stuff to do out there. Maybe it's just me. But, like, for example, and Doug, I mean, you were out of town running around this weekend.
Yeah,
man. Just yesterday, for example. I rolled out of, fell out of bed, and like, I jumped up and, you know, scraped the crust off me and said, okay, what do I have to do today? And the last thing on my list, I didn't even consider it, was, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch Steve Irwin. That's what I need to get done today. I cannot complete my day unless I watch Steve Irwin. No, I'm like, I got to go run here, I got to run there, I got to run to this place, I got to take care of this. I have to get the banner contest ready for Ghostly Talk, because that's really important. I have to get ready for the show today. There's just so much stuff, and that's my thing, and I think it's yours too, homie. There's just so much stuff out there to do, I think, that I think you can enrich yourself a lot more with and learn more and grow more from than just... I do want to slam TV. I don't like TV.
Well,
you want to know where
TV.
I learned from?
Hmm.
On different things? From the computer.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Do I really need to watch the news only if I really want to see, you know, the newsreels of, you know, maybe if they're catching an alligator down in the swamp down here on a canal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Protecting people from being bitten, okay? Because we've had quite a few of those events happen down here recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see the alligator being caught and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Internet, I can catch news all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I can read it.
It's right there on the computer.
And you can also get, I mean, in my case, you can also get done like 300 other things, too, while you're reading the news while you're working on the Internet. That's kind of
right. I could listen to music. I could do a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I work the same way on that.
What would it take, though, getting back to the Nostradamus, the anti, what is it, the third Antichrist that we're looking for or something?
That's what some people call that the third Antichrist. But what is the Antichrist? It doesn't necessarily have to be a single person.
Right.
It could be maybe a country, okay? Or like, like when Nostradamus wrote about kings and queens and, it didn't have to be a person with what we call being a king in our own minds of a country.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a person of power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Donald Trump could be considered a king.
Okay, mm-hmm. An economic king of sorts.
Yeah.
He has power. He has a lot of people underneath of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it with the Antichrist, yeah, people out there are even naming. I'm sorry, George W. Bush, but some people have named George W. Bush as being the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that myself.
But they've been doing that to every president and things like that for quite a while. I mean, it's just the same thing over and over. But
you're right, Doug.
But it's not a bad thing to be labeled this Antichrist in a sense. Maybe it's a sort of, like he talks about spreading democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, is it wrong for some people to live like mankind lived thousands of years ago, like the Amish do up in Pennsylvania?
No, they live off the ground.
They don't use cars. They're not supposed to use cars.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They live off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Okay. So the democracy that he is trying to push across is big business. Okay. Make more money, pushing the new. Here's automobiles, here's TVs, here's refrigerators, here's this, here's that.
Well, in his case, his family's oil.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drive more. Drive.
Yeah. And of course, all of his friends being of the military contractors and stuff like that. Well, George, we haven't been to war in a while. We're not making a lot of. We're making money, but we're not making money like when we're at war.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a happy war.
Mm. All right. Yeah.
But I think, and I can see all, I can see all that kind of stuff happening, you know, in the closed libraries with all the men standing
just,
around chatting.
Know,
and,
yeah, behind doors, is that possible that could be said? You know, we're just blowing smoke on this, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. But it could, I mean, I can see things like that actually transpiring. Whether or not any of that's the actual reason, I don't know. It's interesting to think about.
Absolutely.
But,
true, so.
But you sure can draw a lot of lines, you know. I mean, you can
that's
draw,
true.
Everybody's draw a lot
drawing
of
lines on... Even 9/11 is being set up. Some people have stated by the government that's not true, all right? Because you know, like when you say 9/11, how is it possible that George Bush was maybe having dinner with or getting the Osama family out real fast out of the country?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, there's stuff that we don't know. You know, I got to say I don't know personally, and there's some things I can't say.
Well, the problem
it's.
Well, go ahead, homie. I'm sorry.
No, Doug was going to say something about prophecy, though.
Right.
Okay,
well,
go ahead.
So what I was thinking is, what would it take to completely get rid of the prophecy? Not get rid of it, but completely negate it so that it cannot happen?
Well, you see, in this, from what I've read in this book concerning the antidote to the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
is that this person would make it would give the world understanding on a lot of different things, and it would bring peace to everybody. Okay, that means there would be no war. The wars would stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the part of the prophecy. Is it really going to happen? It's nice to think that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And as this antidote gets well known out there. At a certain time, yes, it will take place. I mean, there's been a lot of, let's say, there's been certain things that, let's say, that antidote has been doing for the past 10 years behind the scenes for that prophecy to take place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Osama bin Laden, you know, we talked about how Nostradamus talked about 9/11 and certain prophecies.
Right. Mm.
And here you had Osama bin Laden pulling this off. Now, did he know 10 years before that he was going to do this thing, or 20 years before, and that it could take place, and that it could take, and it could happen, that they, what he orchestrated would take place?
Well, maybe a moot point here would be to say that, from what I understand, and this is just more things that I've read concerning the event, they were actually planning this for around 10 years.
Yeah, it must be, yeah, a while, but
yeah, almost 10 years
in his own mind, let's say 10 years before or 20 years before, was it in his mind to do that event? That
well, probably not.
The World Trade Center?
Probably not that particular. I know that that was always one of their targets, but mm-hmm. but what? Probably not that particular event in that particular way. That probably, you know, got hammered out in the whatever the cave equivalent of a boardroom is.
wow.
I know, I speak of it with
distaste.
Very much distaste, yeah.
Mm, mm.
But, because I
like
don't...
Like a fine piece of liver.
I don't live in a cave, and I have no reason to go to work in a cave.
Mm.
I just don't like caves.
Yeah.
But there's spiders in caves, and I won't have them. But the...
But anyway,
yeah.
I don't want to cut you short, because I see we got 850.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're on our way. But,
yeah.
Yeah, so no, I don't think he knew the details. I think he may have, at some point in his life previous to starting to plan the event, he may have thought, oh, it would be really interesting to pull off some huge act of terrorism, but probably have absolutely no clue what it was at
That's
that
right.
time.
At the time. And as it got closer, you know, would they really be able to make it happen? That was, you know, and then it happened. He was considered a success to his people.
Do you think that opportunities presented themselves to him? And I mean this not only in the that sounds a very conspiratorial, you know, but also, but I mean, like, I find that sometimes some of the best things that happen are because of an opportunity that just happens along. And I had the opportunity to take a job, for example, and I did, and it was one of the best things I ever did. And but it was an opportunity. I wasn't out looking. I wasn't searching for these things, and it just happened along. The Ghostly Talk thing, all of Ghostly Talk was an opportunity.
You were just reading my mind on that one, yeah.
Yeah, you know, maybe some things probably did happen, like an open door for them to do certain things.
Well, who then would control that? Because if you feel, because I feel that when these good opportunities happen, right, and then I you know, opportunity knocks. I open the door and say, "Oh yeah, I want this. Mm-hmm. Let's have a chat." Mm-hmm. You know, that's great. But I often attribute those things to good forces. I believe I'm somewhat on the good side. On you know, in the
there are evil
scale
forces
of,
out
you know.
There, but yeah.
So who would or like? But I think that it doesn't always happen just because the Earth is rotating and the Sun is coming up and going down every day. I think that sometimes opportunities happen that are orchestrated
by something above.
Yeah, by something above or throughout or within or next to, you know, by something else. And I think that they can help. These forces can help guide our lives. Should we? You know, take them up on their offer, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I think of these forces as good for some reason. And what happens is, though, if Osama bin Laden and them are sitting there in their cave and they're planning this, they're, you know, oh, it would be great to blow up something, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're losing our entire Arabic audience right now.
They all just shut their
Both
computers
of
off in their caves.
But what, because I wouldn't consider an act of terrorism anywhere near the good side of the good and evil scale.
Mm-hmm.
So if he did not have to work continually super hard on his own with his little ragtag band of terrorists, and something out there in the invisible realms were offering up assistance, what could those have been? You know, did he have an opportunity to send people to flight training? Did he have an opportunity? Like, if anything was presented to him as an opportunity as opposed to, I've got to work to make this happen,
mm-hmm.
Then that would suggest something else working toward this goal as well. And what is it and why? And we have 4 minutes.
Well, that's a...
Good luck.
Well, with the time frame of what they were doing, you know, our laws were so weak, and how we protected our country was so weak that, you know, it was happy-go-lucky. So, yeah, it was very easy for him to do a lot of different things. It wasn't like it was just being like an open door for him to do whatever he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sure, it's now a tight situation around the world, okay? Nobody ever thought that it would take place, you know. But it just happened that way. It's not something that other forces took place. You know, prophecy, I mean, let's say, why didn't God stop it? Well, maybe there was a reason why God didn't stop all these calamities.
Well, that's what I was going to say right there, too, homie, is, you know, and we say this all the time, and Doug, just give me the look on this one, man. Everything happens for a reason.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Whatever you believe, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I've had too much weird stuff happen to me that at the time I thought it was just so horrible. It was the end of life as we know it in my little world that I call Scott Isles' little world. And like, at the end of the day, though, it ended up being something possibly, you know, really wonderful for me. I mean, everything happens for a reason, and that's kind of what keeps me going every day now, honestly. That's the, like you said, Doug, I mean, or homie, you said that, you know, why couldn't God have stopped this thing? Well, maybe it did have to happen. Maybe it had to happen for a reason.
There's a lot of things that are happening for a reason, and that's why, you know, there's some other things that we could go on to this at another time.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:58.
He has a better sense of the time for the show than we do.
I know, we just go on and on and on.
But we could tell everybody, if they want to know about how maybe some things, so I write in my book, they could get the copy of the e-book for free anytime they want.
That's true.
That's the first version, I should mm-hmm. say.
Mm-hmm. Homie 3's first version of his e-book is it's available on homie3.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, HOMEY, three, the number three .com.
Mm-hmm.
And just email me from the website, and you can get the. I'll send you the ebook for free, and there's no spam mail after that unless you ask questions.
Can we nail you?
And then pow, you know.
Yeah, you just get, yeah.
Just buy.com. Send you everything. No, So, and that's the first version of your book. You're working on your revision, and you're releasing that after Mercury's retrograde.
Yeah.
So the second version is going to be released in print form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In print form and in ebook form,
and also
we're going to try to do an audio book of it for it.
Ooh. Oh, that'd be excellent. So excellent. So that your second revision of the book, but this would be the first revision is available completely free. Just email Homie3 off of his website at homie3.com.
Definitely.
Wow.
And now I have to say it's time for me to go where a man has to think.
Homie, we need to thank you for all your help last week putting together Prophecy Night Part 2. It was a great thing. You know, you've done a stellar job again, and I'm glad we received this opportunity.
It was an opportunity.
It was an opportunity.
We jumped on, yeah.
To do like kind of a recap from last week of, you know, the things that the events that transpired and what was said. And I think I had a great time. I know Doug had a great time. I think Bonnie had a good time.
Yes, I did.
And I'm fairly certain you had a good time too, homie.
Yes, we all did.
Thank you, homie.
And everybody was thankful for it, and they all hope that maybe sometime in the future we'll do it again.
I think we'll have to do that. Homie, stay on the line. We're going to close the show out. Give us one second. Wow.
Bye, everybody. May God bless.
Yes.
That is true.
That was Homie3 from homie3.com.
And then before that was an hour of banter. Before that was, of course, Elmo and Elmer. I want to thank Elmo. I want to thank
great
Homie3.
Great field reporters. Awesome.
I want to thank everybody who's putting on all these wonderful conventions that we talked about in the second hour.
Chasers Radio. Check out Chasers Radio.
When that comes out in the fall.
He's already linked up on our site.
Yeah.
On our links page, you can check out his site there. I'm also going to put the link on the front page tonight, too.
We will be back next Sunday from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, this has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
Catch you next week.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Yeah.